one. His voice gentled. It's time, Jen. Go be normal. You'll like it.
As quickly as it had formed, her irritation disappeared. Mostly because in that moment, Lucas reminded her so much of her dad that she wanted to fling herself at him and be held in an embrace only a father could give. But Lucas wouldn't understand, and he wasn't her father, so she pushed the urge away and stood. Let me know if you want to get changed and need help, she said.
Not happening.
And be ready to leave in an hour.
Or what?
She smiled. Trust me. You don't want to push me.
I'm not worried, he grinned. Don't forget I know you. You're all talk, kiddo.
She walked back into the house. She knew that Lucas hadn't been trying to hurt her, but his parting shot had stung. Was he right? Was she all talk? And if she was, how could she not want to change? Zoe was starting to think she should simply have cards printed up explaining she was pregnant with her ex's baby. Maybe something from Vistaprint. She could upload some text, a few pictures, and stop having to tell the same awful story over and over again. A plan that would work just fine with many of the people in her life, but not with Chad, she thought grimly. He was going to have to hear the entire sordid tale directly from her, which was why she'd asked him to stop by after work. She'd spent the entire afternoon trying to figure out what she was going to say. Oh, she knew the facts, but the order she said them mattered. In a perfect world, he would simply sign away the rights to his child, and she would never have to deal with him again. But knowing how Chad felt about his kids made her less hopeful. Although he might not want any more children, and there was the issue of child support, maybe he would be happy to walk away. The lawyer she'd gone to see had warned her the chances of that were unlikely. In California, signing away parental rights wasn't as easy as they made it look in the movies. As a rule, the fathers who got to escape their responsibilities were minors, usually well under the age of 18. The state took a dim view of capable adult males weaseling out of fatherhood. Zoe paced her living room and checked the time every 15 seconds from 4:30 until 5:15, which was when Chad had told her to expect him. She'd debated serving drinks and snacks, and then had decided once she'd shared her news and made her case for him signing away rights, they weren't going to linger over chips and salsa. She led him into her living room and motioned to the sofa.
What's up? He asked as he took a seat.
She settled as far away from him as she could. She felt sick to her stomach, which could have been either nerves or the pregnancy. Why did it have to be like this? We're not getting back together, she began, then wondered if she should have started somewhere else. Chad started to stand.
I don't need this crap, he said. Why did you want to talk to me? I already got it, Zoe. You want some fairy tale relationship. Fine. That isn't me. What we had was good, but you're too stubborn to see that.
Wait. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Please sit down. This is important.
He reluctantly settled back on the sofa and stared at her. She sucked in a breath.
I'm pregnant.
Chad stared at her. Nothing about his expression changed. His jaw tightened a little, but otherwise he didn't move. She waited until he finally asked,
You're sure?
She told him about the shot not working.
I had an ultrasound. There's a baby.
And it's mine?
She told herself not to get angry. They'd split up. It was a reasonable question.
Yes. I understand that you'll want confirmation of that. I would prefer to wait until after the baby is born so we can do a cheek swab. Any other testing at this point is too invasive.
He turned away and then looked back at her.
You're pregnant and you're keeping the baby?
She nodded and waited. He didn't say anything else, and she still couldn't read his expression. He looked calm, which surprised her. She'd thought there would be screaming and accusations.
This isn't what either of us wanted, she began, her voice deliberately quiet and calm. It's a shock, and you need time. I get that. Like I said, I'm keeping the baby. Anything else isn't an option for me. But you already have two kids you love very much. If you want to sign away your rights, I'm okay with that.
I have a lawyer who can—
No. His gaze was direct. No, I won't sign away my rights.
He stood and wiped his palms on his jeans.
I have to think this through. I have to figure this out. I wasn't expecting—
He crossed to her small kitchen, then walked back.
Hell, Zoe. Pregnant?
She shrugged.
I need to think, he told her. Let me get back to you.
She stood. Sure, there's plenty of time. I'm only 2.5 months along. There's nothing to be done right now.
Okay, I'll call you.
He crossed to the door, then turned back to her.
You're doing all right?
I'm fine. He nodded and left. She stood by the door for a few seconds, in case he came back. When she heard the sound of his car, she walked into her kitchen. Mason sat on the wide windowsill. He blinked as if asking how things had gone.
I don't know, she admitted. He didn't yell, which is always good. I don't think he's going to give up the baby, which means we're stuck with him for a very long time.
Mason walked over to rub against her. She stroked his cheek before picking him up. The sound of his soft purr calmed her.
I love you too, she whispered.
Chapter 17 Pam found that reminding herself that Zoe hadn't gotten pregnant on purpose did less to alleviate her anger than she would have hoped. What on earth had the girl been thinking? Worse, Pam knew she was partially to blame. Oh, not for the pregnancy. That was all on Zoe and Chad, and possibly the inept drug company that had failed to do one seemingly simple job. No, her culpability came from the fact that she'd been so sure she knew best. She'd been so sure that Zoe and Stephen would be a great couple. She'd thrown them together. And look, it had worked. Now they were dating, and despite Zoe's pregnancy, Stephen still thought he might stay with her. Pam had sent him several long, logically written emails explaining why being with Zoe was a huge mistake. She'd pointed out all the reasons he would regret it later. So far, he'd ignored her. Well, except for a brief text telling her that while he loved her, she needed to back off. Now she had a whole truckload of anger and nowhere to put it. She thought about talking to Jen, but was concerned her daughter would take her friend's side. There was no way Pam could speak to Zoe herself. She would start shrieking, and that never went well. She cleaned her condo, worked on several projects for MWF, then took Lulu for a walk. While they were out, she got a text from Miguel, asking if he could stop by. They agreed he would be at her place in 20 minutes. She didn't rush home. There was no point in checking her makeup or putting out food. His wasn't a social call, not the way it had been before. She guessed he wanted to talk about Zoe and Stephen, parent to parent. The problem was going to be that they were on opposite sides. He was waiting in the building lobby when she and Lulu returned. He smiled at her in that charming way of his. Her feckless stomach seemed to flop over, which the rest of her ignored. This was not a time to be flirtatious, she reminded herself. This was war, or at the very least, a pending skirmish.
How have you been?
He asked as they rode up in the elevator together. Fine. And yourself?
Excellent.
They reached the top floor. Pam led the way to her condo and they went inside. She opened the patio slider, but stayed in the living room. Lulu drank from her water bowl, then got into her bed, as if prepared to enjoy the show. Miguel, as handsome as ever, damn him, waited for her to take a seat before he did the same. Then he smiled again.
It seems we have something to talk about, he began. You know about Zoe?
If you mean that she's pregnant, then yes.
Good. I thought you'd been told.
He paused to study her.
You're not happy with the news?
Are you?
I am.
The smile returned.
I'm going to be a grandfather, and what man wouldn't want that? I'm hoping for a little girl, just like her mother. Although a boy would be nice, too. The toys are more interesting.
He raised a shoulder.
I'm easy to please.
Pam realized she hadn't thought about Zoe having a baby. Oh, she'd been dwelling on the pregnancy for days now, but not the actual baby. The sweet smell and shape of a newborn, the soft skin, the little hands. Her wall of determination started to crack, but then she reminded herself about what this would mean to Stephen, and her resolve strengthened.
"What about Chad?" she asked.
"Zoe should marry him."
"What?" Pam's voice was a yelp. "You want her to marry Chad?"
"Of course. He's the father of her baby."
"He's a jerk. You can't be serious. He cheated on his first wife for years. He lied about being married. He refused to let Zoe get to know his children. He strung her along for 5 years. Why on earth would you want a man like that in your daughter's life?"
Miguel stared at her as if she'd grown a second head, or maybe a third. A blurt too late, she realized maybe Zoe hadn't exactly shared all that with her father, because what daughter would?
"Pretend I didn't say that," Pam muttered, feeling her cheeks flush.
Miguel's jaw clenched.
"She didn't tell me all that."
"I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking. I've been upset. I shouldn't have said any of it."
She felt horrible for betraying a friend's confidence. She never did that. Zoe being pregnant didn't excuse her.
"I never liked Chad, but things are different now. I thought..."
Miguel muttered something under his breath.
"This complicates things."
"I agree. Zoe needs time to figure out what's best for her."
His head snapped up as he glared at her.
"What does that mean?"
"Just that she has a lot on her mind."
"You're worried about Stephen."
"Of course. He's my son."
"Zoe's my daughter."
"She and Stephen haven't been going out very long. It doesn't make sense for them to stay together, considering her change in circumstances."
"You'd rather he abandon her?"
Miguel's voice was deceptively soft.
"Why does it have to be abandoning? Why can't they just break up? Like it or not, Chad is going to be in her life forever. The child is going to be Chad's, not Stephen's. Being a step-parent isn't easy. Why would he take that on? It's not like he's the one who got pregnant."
"Oops, wrong thing to say." "You blame my daughter?"
"She is the one who had sex with her ex."
"It was a mistake. You've never made one."
"Not like that."
She felt her temper rising and tried to keep calm.
"Look, Zoe's great. I really like her. But I'm also worried about Stephen. He's thinking about this idealistically and has no idea what he's getting into. Neither of us think Chad is a great guy, but he's the father, and his rights will always come first. He will always have the final say over another man. Stephen and Zoe barely know each other. I think they both need time to assess where they are."
"You're protecting your son."
"Yes."
"As I will protect my daughter."
He studied her.
"Where does this leave us?"
"You mean can we get past this to still be friends?"
He nodded.
"Oh, she hadn't thought of that. Do you want to?"
"I don't know."
An honest response that hit her like a slap. She wasn't sure what she felt about Miguel. He was very handsome and interesting, and when she was with him, she was reminded that there were still possibilities. Not that they were involved in that way, she told herself. Still, she'd enjoyed her time with Miguel and didn't want to see it end.
"After all, this is so new," he told her. "It doesn't make much sense for us to keep seeing each other, considering our change in circumstances."
He was using her own words against her. Before she could figure out what to say in return, he stood.
"Goodbye, Pamela."
And just like that, he was gone, and she was alone. Again. Although Stephen had warned her that Pam wasn't in a good place about the pregnancy, Zoe was determined to talk to her about it. Whatever happened with Stephen, she and Pam were still friends. At least she hoped they were. So she dressed for Nicole's class and made her way to Mischief in Motion. Maybe sweating together for an hour would give Zoe the courage to approach Pam. When she arrived at the exercise studio, she found Pam was already there. The other woman stiffened when she saw her, as if surprised. She gave a tight smile before turning away. Not exactly the warm greeting Zoe had been hoping for, but at least Pam didn't disappear.
50 minutes and much muscle trembling later, Zoe gathered her limp self together and walked over to Pam.
Hi,
she said, hoping she sounded braver than she felt.
I know this is awkward, but I really miss us hanging out. I was hoping we could figure out a middle ground.
Pam collected her tote. Zoe did the same and they walked out together.
I'm not sure there is any, Pam told her when they reached the sidewalk. My main concern is Stephen.
Which kind of hurt, but made sense.
He's your son. I get that. You know I didn't plan this, right? It wasn't supposed to happen.
You still slept with Chad. You could have used a condom, and you didn't. I thought only my generation was irresponsible.
The unfair judgment made her eyes burn.
Is that what you think?
I don't know what I think, Pam told her. Are you going to marry Chad? It's what your father wants.
Why are you talking to me like this? Why aren't you being my friend?
Because at the end of the day, Stephen is family and you're not. I have to take care of him. I have to keep him safe. I want him to be happy, and that can't happen with you. I'm sorry, Zoe. Bringing you two together was a mistake. One I wish I could undo.
Zoe told herself the pain was just hormonal, and that she didn't actually care what Pam thought. Sure, they'd become friends, but for what, 5 minutes? She had other people. She didn't need Pam.
Only Zoe had come to see Pam as a surrogate mother. Jen was Zoe's best friend. Was Pam going to get between them as well? Because Pam was making it clear she was going to try to keep Stephen from making what she saw as a huge mistake with his life.
I didn't plan this, Zoe repeated. I didn't do it on purpose.
No one thinks you did. My problem is I know what it's like to have a child, Zoe. I know how things change. There's no way this is right for Stephen. I'm sorry you're going to have to go through this alone, but that's the way things are.
Lulu popped her head out of Pam's tote just then and gave a little bark.
Zoe didn't know if the dog was greeting her or telling her off. Based on how things had gone thus far, it wasn't hard to pick.
Pam, please, Zoe pleaded. I really need you. I want us to stay friends.
Pam's expression hardened. It's better if we don't. I'm sorry, Zoe. Goodbye.
If Jen could just figure out a way to have sex with her husband, her life would be perfect.
Okay, not perfect. If Jack could talk and she could figure out a way to have sex with Kirk, then her life would be perfect. Seriously.
But neither was happening, and to be honest, she was starting to be more concerned about the sex. She couldn't remember how long it had been.
That wasn't happy news.
And if she couldn't remember, he couldn't either, unless he was getting it somewhere else.
Don't go there, she told herself as she peeled off the brightening facial mask she'd applied 20 minutes before.
Lucas would have said something. God knew he wasn't afraid of speaking the truth. So if Kirk wasn't having sex with some chickie, then she could win him back.
She rubbed the leftover serum into her skin and decided that winning him back wasn't the right phrase. She could reignite the spark, which was what this morning was about. Kirk was off, and he and Lucas had taken Jack to the pub to give her some alone time. She'd put it to good use. She'd shaved her legs, done the mask, and was now going to apply the scented body lotion Kirk liked. They had the whole day together. She planned to be flirty and fun, with just enough touching to leave him panting. Okay, maybe not panting, but in the mood. That was what she wanted for today, the promise of good things to come tonight. As she applied her makeup, she thought about the other changes she wanted to make in her life. To be honest, the staying at home with a toddler thing was starting to get to her. A few months ago, she'd been terrified at the thought of going back to work, but sometime in the past few weeks, she'd really started to miss teaching. Maybe it was hearing about Zoe's substitute teaching. She'd always enjoyed her students and the challenges of making sometimes boring material interesting. She liked having summers off, but going back to work meant putting Jack in daycare, and that was a problem she had yet to solve. She dressed. Early May wasn't stiflingly hot, but the temperature had definitely gone up by a couple of degrees. She decided on light blue crop pants with a matching tank. She slipped on a crisp, white, short-sleeved shirt and left it open, then pulled the hot rollers out of her hair. "And we're done," she whispered. She thought she looked pretty good. Not fancy, but rested and pretty. The mask had worked its magic on her skin. She was more wholesome than sexy, but Kirk was a girl-next-door kind of guy, and that should appeal to him. Later, she could show him her bad girl moves. She went into the kitchen and downed as much water as she could without gagging. While she hated to admit it, the simple instructions Alana had given her seemed to be working. She'd taken to having her 15 minutes of quiet time while Jack napped. Just being still and letting her mind wander was much more refreshing than a frantic attempt to get her mile-long list of chores done. Her blood work had come back showing she was low on several vitamins, including iron and D, which would make her tired and more prone to anxiety. She liked that she was taking care of herself. It felt good. She'd been so focused on Jack for so long that she'd somehow gotten lost. There had to be a place somewhere between being self-consumed and being a martyr, and she hoped she'd found it. She prepared the marinade for the flank steak they were barbecuing that night, then checked the clock. The boys were due back by 11:30. She'd already made chicken salad for lunch. She would guess that Lucas was going to be exhausted by the outing and would crash for the afternoon. Jack would take a nap as well. Maybe the seduction didn't have to wait until tonight. She heard the sound of the SUV pulling into the garage and felt a little quiver low in her belly. She touched the spot and grinned. There was a blast from the past, she thought happily. Nice to know she still had those feelings for her husband. She walked toward the mudroom to greet everyone. Kirk came in first, Jack in his arms. She took one look at Kirk's happy expression and started to laugh. What? She asked. You're pleased about something. What is it? Lucas stepped around him.
You'd be lousy at poker, bro. This is a family thing. I'm going to my room.
Jen had no idea why Lucas felt he had to leave, but she let it go. She hurried over and took her son, who held out his arms for her and laughed. She pulled him close. Well? Kirk pulled her into the family room and onto the sofa.
Look.
He pulled out his phone and spooled up a video. Jack squirmed to get down and ran over to sit by his low toy box. He began pulling out his trucks and cars. Obviously, he wasn't the least bit impressed by whatever Kirk wanted to show her.
Here.
Kirk pushed a button on his phone, and a video began to play. She stared at the screen. Jack was running around at the pop, on the grass, not by the playground, but off to the side. A woman walked by with two dogs. Labs, she would guess. Jack clapped and pointed.
Dogs. Big dogs. See, Daddy?
Her heart stopped. Actually stopped beating. The world went dark, then bright, bright white before tilting and finally righting itself. Relief was warm and sweet and so very welcome. She stared at Kirk, who was watching her happily. He spoke? Tears filled her eyes as she looked from the video to her son, then back at Kirk. He spoke?
He did.
She began to laugh and hurried to Jack, then dropped down beside him.
You can do it! I knew you could! Oh, Jack!
She hugged him tight, then tickled him. He laughed and put his arms around her.
Big kiss!
He pressed his tiny toddler lips to hers, then squirmed away. She pointed to the truck.
What is that, Jack? Can you tell Mommy what that is?
He smiled at her, then put his fingers against his mouth in a motion she knew to mean he was hungry.
You want lunch? Okay, we can eat. But can you tell me what that is?
She pointed to the truck again. He only smiled.
I don't understand, she said to Kirk. Why won't he talk?
Why does it matter? There's more on the video, Jen. He chatted up a storm. He can talk. That's the important thing.
She knew he was right, but still, why was Jack silent now?
He'll talk when he's ready, Kirk assured her. It'll be any second now.
She nodded, but was less sure. Jack was her baby. Shouldn't he talk around her the most? She got lunch ready and called Lucas to join them. All through the meal, she tried to get Jack to talk, but he only smiled and waved and did his gesturing that was so clear to her. She understood him completely, but still she wanted the words. After his nap, she sent Kirk in to wake him. She waited in the hall, where Jack couldn't see her. Kirk pulled their son out of his crib.
Did you have a good nap?
Yes.
Jen's heart fluttered as she heard the word. She stepped into the room. Hi, sweetie. Jack grinned and waved, but didn't speak. By 8 that night, she had to accept the truth. Her son would talk, just not around her. With her, he used their special physical communication.
I don't get it,
she told Kirk when they'd retreated to their bedroom. What am I doing wrong?
You're not doing anything wrong. He doesn't need to talk to you, Jen. You know exactly what he wants. But at least we know he can talk.
How could he not see that wasn't good enough? So you think I hover, that I'm keeping him from talking?
I don't mean it like that. You're a great mom.
No, I'm not. A great mom wouldn't have a son who won't talk to her. A great mom would have figured this out weeks ago. I'm terrible and useless. Everything is awful.
She knew she was saying everything wrong, and that she would regret saying all this later, but she couldn't seem to stop herself. I've made this happen, she continued. I'm the problem. You and Lucas have him for 15 minutes and suddenly he's fine. I'm with him all day long and I couldn't fix anything. I hate this. It's not fair. It's not right.
What's wrong with me?
She hurried out of the room, but there was nowhere to go, she thought grimly as she brushed away tears. She wasn't about to run out on her family. She had her husband and her son. Her son, whom she loved more than anything on earth. Her son, who would talk to anyone but her.
Chapter 18 Zoe told herself to live in the moment, to not ask questions when she was hopeful, but also terrified of the answer. Still, when a handsome man showed up with a bottle of sparkling cider, the non-alcoholic kind, and settled in as if he planned to spend the evening, it was hard not to hope. They were out on the small patio, sitting in lounge chairs next to each other. It was about an hour until sunset, and the sky was that perfect blue right before the orange color. Mason lay in a patch of sun, his tail flicking every now and then, as if he too wanted to know. Zoe glanced at Stephen.
Not that I don't appreciate the company, but why are you here?
He chuckled, then drank some of his cider.
I wondered how long it would take you to ask.
Still waiting.
He reached for her hand.
I heard you talk to my mom.
She grimaced.
I'm not sure I would call it a conversation.
The memory still hurt. She'd honest to God thought that she and Pam were friends. She couldn't have been more wrong.
I'm trying to see her side, she said with a sigh. You're her son and she loves you. She's looking out for you. But wow, was she very clear on her thoughts. She really doesn't like me.
He squeezed her fingers before releasing her hand.
She likes you fine, but she's worried about me.
That woman has some serious mama bear in her. I would not want to get between her and one of you, ever.
Does that mean you're going to do what she says? You're going to break up with me?
She put down her drink and turned until she was facing him. She put her feet firmly on the ground, mostly to steady herself, but also to be able to flee if necessary. Because sometimes a girl had to bolt. Well, with being pregnant and all, she could pretend she was going to throw up, and wasn't that convenient.
It's not my decision to make, she said carefully. You said you needed time. That's about you, not me.
And if I still want to see you?
Her heart gave a little thud.
That would be nice, he smiled.
I was hoping for more than nice.
The smile faded as he turned toward her.
Zoe, I do want to keep seeing you. I've thought about what you told me. I know it's not going to be easy. You're dealing with a lot. The pregnancy is complicated, but not a deal breaker. I like you. I think we have something special, and I don't want to lose that.
What on earth had she done to deserve a guy this great? She wondered.
Maybe she'd saved kittens in a previous life.
Are you sure? Because I don't know what's going to happen with Chad and everyone else, Your mom is going to be really mad. I don't want her hating me, or you. Although I guess she really wouldn't hate you for long. You're her son. But I'm pregnant. You have to get that, Stephen. I'm going to get fat, and my ankles are going to swell, and we won't be able to have sex for a long time. And when all that is done, there will be a baby. And while I'd love for you to be involved, I don't know how much you want, and you're not the biological father, and I don't know if that matters. She paused for breath. While she was inhaling, he leaned in and kissed her.
That's a lot, he whispered.
It is. I want you to be prepared.
There's no preparing for that. He kissed her again. I'm going to have to wing it.
He leaned back in his chaise.
What about those raised plant beds you were talking about? We should get on that. You'll want fresh organic fruits and vegetables for yourself and later for the baby. Do you have a tape measure? I need you to show me where you want them. I need to do some research, to be sure, but I'm guessing the supplies are easy enough to get at the hardware store. The local nursery should have organic soil, but we'll have to make sure we get the right kind for growing food.
He looked at her.
Unless you're going to use it for flowers?
She blinked.
No, I was thinking vegetables and maybe some berries.
That's what I thought.
She shifted until she was stretched out again and did her best not to ask yet again if he was sure.
Stephen had decided. For reasons not the least bit clear to her, he wanted to stay involved. She told herself to simply accept him at his word and be happy. Still, she couldn't help asking, "What are you going to tell your mom?"
"I don't think she has an opinion on your plant beds."
"Stephen,"
he shrugged. "I'll talk to her. She's not going to make me choose Zoe. She's a smart lady. She'll come around."
"And if she doesn't?"
"Let's worry about that if it happens, okay?"
"But that's so logical."
"Take a walk on the wild side."
"I did that once and now I'm pregnant."
He laughed.
"Speaking of that, when's your next doctor's appointment?"
"I have my very first official visit on Monday. When I went before, it was more of an assessment than a, hey, you're having a baby kind of thing."
"Can I come with you?"
She looked at him.
"To the doctor?"
"Uh-huh. I want to be there through everything."
"Why?"
He reached for her hand again.
"Zoe, I care about you. Haven't I been clear on that? You're pregnant. I'm going to do what I can to help."
He swore.
"Do we have to wait for the visit to make love?"
She felt her mouth drop open. She consciously closed it before telling herself that bursting into tears would only frighten him. Stupid hormones. But how else was she supposed to react to a man who not only wanted to keep dating her, he wanted to go through the pregnancy with her and have sex with her?
"We're allowed to do it," she told him. "It's okay."
"Do it?" He raised his eyebrows. "Is that how you think of our emotional and physical joining as we become one? I'm just a sex toy, an object. I don't matter at all."
She held in a giggle.
"I believe the correct phrase is boy toy. A sex toy generally has a battery."
He pulled his hand away and sighed heavily.
"You're using me for sex. I'm crushed."
"Too crushed to get it up?"
He turned toward her.
"Never that. Should I prove it to you right now?"
She put down her drink and held out her arms.
"Yes, please."
Pam decided the world had gone mad. There was no other explanation. Despite knowing better, Stephen had yet to call her and apologize for what he'd said. She hadn't heard from Miguel, and as for Zoe, well, she wasn't going to think about her anymore. Zoe was the source of all the trouble.
After feeling at loose ends for several days, Pam decided she needed a little time with her favorite grandson and went over to Jen's. Her daughter opened the front door.
"Hi. Did I know you were coming by?"
"No, I should have called.
Is this a bad time?"
Jen let her and Lulu into the house.
"It's fine. Jack is down for his nap, and Lucas is watching some horrible daytime television. He's become totally addicted to those weird talk shows where everyone overshares."
They walked through to the family room. Pam crossed to the slider and let Lulu out. Her little girl had gone potty before they left, but she didn't want to take a chance. Not with Jen being so uptight about keeping the house perfect. Pam sat in the sunroom.
Jen had changed out the cushions last summer. The new pattern was nice. Not what she would have chosen, but still very pretty. Jen picked up a few of Jack's toys and put them in the toy box. Her movements were deliberate, as if she had something on her mind. Pam knew her children well and could guess that Jen was once again going to obsess about Jack. Pam decided to speak before Jen could get started. "Have you talked to Zoe?" she asked, hoping she sounded more casual than she felt. "What? Not in the last day or so. I did before. Why? Is everything okay?" "How would I know? I'm not speaking with her." Jen frowned. "Why would you say that? Because she's pregnant? Mom, you know it's not her fault, right?"
"She had sex with Chad."
"So? It was a post-breakup thing. It happens." Jen studied her. "You didn't say anything to her, did you?"
"I said she should stay away from Stephen, that he deserved better."
"Oh my God!"
Her daughter stared at her. "Tell me you're kidding."
"I'm not. Why would I be? You know it's going to be a nightmare. Chad won't go away. She was in love with him before. What if she decides she's still in love with him? Then where will Stephen be? He's better off ending things now, before they get out of hand."
"Is that what you really think?"
"Why are you surprised?"
"Because it's mean and not like you at all."
Pam shifted in her seat. Her daughter's steady gaze seemed very judgy.
"I'm doing what's best."
"No, you're not."
"Stop looking at me like that."
Jen shook her head. "I honestly don't know what to say. Stephen can take care of himself, Mom. We all can. You made sure of that. You should trust him." She hesitated.
"Is this about Dad?"
"What does your father have to do with anything?"
Pam thought about adding that John would agree with her, only she was suddenly less sure about that.
"You lost him suddenly. It was hard on you."
Her voice gentled.
"He can't protect us from the bad stuff in life, Mom. Stephen knows what he's doing. You should be on his side in this and on Zoe's."
"Stephen's family.
Zoe is not."
"Zoe's my friend. I thought she was your friend, too."
"You're looking at this all wrong,"
Pam told her, frustrated that she couldn't make anyone understand why this was so important.
"They've only been dating a few months. So what if they break up? It was probably going to happen anyway. It's not like Stephen has a great track record when it comes to relationships. And based on Chad, Zoe's taste can't be trusted."
"What on earth is wrong with you, Mom? You sound so vicious and heartless."
"I'm being practical."
"You're being a bitch."
Pam stared at her daughter. "You don't get to speak to me that way."
"Then stop acting so awful. What's wrong with you? Zoe made one mistake and now she's dealing with it. She could have had an abortion, but she decided to keep the baby. I would think you would respect that and her. She's a good person. If she and Stephen fall in love, then they're both really fortunate to have found each other."
"You couldn't be more wrong. Stephen has no idea what he's doing."
"He's a grown man. Leave him alone."
"I have to say, I'm totally shocked by what you're saying."
"I'm protecting my family."
"Is that what you're calling it?"
Jen shook her head.
"You always taught us to think about other people, to imagine what they were going through, and to act out of compassion."
"I guess that was all a load of crap."
Pam shifted in her seat. "This is different."
"It's not. It's exactly the same.
Zoe's my friend, Mom. Whatever happens, I'm going to be there for her. If you don't like that, I'm sorry."
"You couldn't be more wrong about this. About all of it."
She rose. "You need to be careful. Because if you push Stephen too hard, you risk losing him. I mean it, Mom. This is bad."
Pam felt herself flush. She didn't like being talked down to by anyone. She wasn't wrong. She knew exactly what she was doing and saying.
"Stephen needs someone to get him to see sense," she said as she stood.
"Is that your plan?"
Jen asked, putting her hands on her hips. "Before you try and possibly ruin your relationship with your son, let me remind you that the only reason he would consider taking on Zoe and the baby is because of what you and Dad taught us. You always said we were to see the best in people and give them a chance. I guess that's more crap, right?"
Lulu trotted into the sunroom. Jen scooped her up and held her. It's been a hell of a week, Mom. There's stuff going on here that... She kissed Lulu, then handed her over. Never mind. I don't want to know what you think about anything. You're wrong about Zoe and you're wrong about Stephen. But you're going to have to figure that out for yourself. Pam took her dog and started for the front door. I can't believe you're taking her side in this. That makes two of us who are shocked right now. Pam got into her SUV and put her hands on the wheel. She was shaking and felt a little sick to her stomach. What was wrong with Jen? Why couldn't she see the impending disaster? Was everyone blind but her? She paused and glanced upward, once again missing her husband. If John were here, he would know what to say. He would get through to Stephen and convince him no woman was worth years of unhappiness. John would tell him... For a second, Pam had the thought that John might very well be telling her something very close to what Jen had said. That she needed to back off. That no matter how she tried, she couldn't protect her children from everything. And that they had to be free to live their lives. Even if that meant walking into what was, at least to her, a disaster waiting to happen. No, Pam said aloud, I won't. If Stephen refuses to see the obvious, I have to show him why he's wrong. Whatever it cost to keep him safe, the price would be worth it. Jen stretched out on the grass in her backyard. The day was sunny, the air warm, the sky blue. She told herself to revel in that, to enjoy the moment, to be one with nature. Which was all a bunch of nonsense. She was furious. There wasn't a cell in her body that wasn't vibrating with rage, and the worst part was, she had absolutely nowhere to put the anger. She couldn't be pissed at her son. Jack was a toddler and doing his toddler thing. Kirk was only the messenger. What had happened wasn't his fault either. She'd tried to tell him that, but they'd both known she wasn't happy. Her great dreams of seduction had burned up in a fire of resentment. All these days later, she was still dealing with too much emotion and a lot of self-loathing. Jack knelt next to her, moving his truck over the recently mowed grass. Next to him was the ridiculous guitar that he loved. Lucas dozed in the sunroom. Zoe sat next to her on the grass, her gaze fixed on the video Jen had showed her. I don't know what to say, her friend admitted. You must be relieved? The words were more question than statement. You can say it, Jen told her. We're all thinking it. No. Yes, it's my fault. I'm so attentive that he doesn't need to talk around me. I went online and read about the phenomenon. Usually it happens between siblings who are close in age. The older sibling can read what the younger one wants and takes care of things. So the baby doesn't have to talk. I've done that with Jack. She sat up and covered her face with her hands. I'm a helicopter, Mom. You're not. Pretty close. I hover, I anticipate, I worry. I'm the reason Jack won't talk. But he does talk. Not to me. Jen had tried all weekend. She'd withheld toys a second or two, hoping to get Jack to ask for them. There hadn't been a single word. She'd left him with Lucas for a couple of hours, and Lucas's guilty expression upon her return had told her that the boy had chatted up a storm. I'm a failure. Zoe hugged her. You're a wonderful mom, and he's lucky to have you. You take really good care of him. I'm smothering him. Learn from my mistakes. I mean that. I'm a disaster. So much for meditating and drinking water, she thought grimly. Those practices might be helping her, but they weren't doing anything for her son. She lowered her voice. I really hate this. I have so much negative energy, and I can't find a place for it. I'm terrified I'm going to snap or something. Zoe shook her head. You're going to be okay. Now that you understand what's going on, you can relax about Jack. Then you can start to relax about everything else. The big picture issue is solved. Can you hang on to that? Jen nodded, even though she was lying. The truth of what had gone wrong circled in her head like a hamster on a wheel. She couldn't escape it. But that didn't mean everyone else wanted to talk about her problems.
She shifted so she was sitting cross-legged. You're right about the big picture. Jack can talk. That's what matters most. She faked a smile, convincingly, she hoped. Enough about my stuff. What's new with you? How are you feeling? Still good?
I haven't been sick at all. I feel kind of guilty about that.
Jen laughed. Be grateful. Hormones are powerful little suckers. Don't worry. There is plenty of unpleasantness to be had in the rest of your pregnancy. Enjoy this part of it while you can. Did you see the doctor?
Yesterday.
Zoe's mouth twisted. Since we know the exact date of conception, it wasn't hard to calculate my due date. I've already had the first ultrasound and everything looks good. She told me to continue gestating and be happy. Easy advice for the doctor to give, Jen thought. She suspected it was more difficult for Zoe to take. How are you doing with that last one?
Being happy? I don't know. Things are complicated.
Chad wants to talk to me. He knows?
Yeah, I told him. He said he needed some time to think about it. I told him I was okay with him giving up his child, but I don't think he's going to go for that. I've spoken to a lawyer. If Chad's staying in my life, I want to get the parenting plan in place as early as possible, while the baby is still a theory.
Less is more? Jen asked.
Zoe hesitated. I want to be fair, but less would be great. He doesn't have custody of his other two children. I don't think he'll want custody of ours. He sees them every other weekend and for part of the time on the holidays, so I'm hoping for something similar.
Will he want to spend every other weekend with a newborn?
I don't know, and as I plan to breastfeed, I don't know how he can. We'll have to figure it out.
Zoe plucked at the grass.
Are you mad at me?
What? No. Why would I be? You're my friend. I'll support you in every way I can. She pointed to the stack of books she'd put out in the sunroom. Would I be offering you my well-read collection of pregnancy books if I was mad? Zoe smiled.
No, and I had no idea that you owned so many.
Jen looked at the pile of over a dozen books. I guess it is a lot. Maybe start with two or three. I'll show you my favorites.
Stephen already bought me What to Expect When You're Expecting. It's very detailed.
A great resource, though. You'll love that one. They walk you through your pregnancy month by month. Jack stood up and waved at her. Jen opened her arms and her son ran to her. She pulled him close, turning him so he sat between her crossed legs. So you're still seeing Stephen, she said, as casually as she could. Yes, Zoe eyed her. What are you thinking?
That you're far too good for him.
Jen smiled. Seriously, I'm happy. Dad's death changed us all. Stephen finally had to finish growing up. He's given up his bimbo of the week dating and has been looking for someone for a while. I'm glad he found you.
Zoe didn't look convinced. Even though I'm pregnant with Chad's baby?
Even though. I know there will be issues, but every relationship has problems. You two know what you're getting into and can plan accordingly. Everyone I know who has stepkids says the worst part is they didn't have any say when the kids were young. Stephen will be with you and the baby from birth. He'll be a part of things.
If he and Zoe got serious enough to get married and later there was a divorce, then Stephen would be screwed. Stepfathers rarely got to see their stepkids again. But her brother was a smart guy. He would know the risks. If he wanted to be with Zoe, then she was going to support that.
Thanks for that, Zoe told her. She tickled the bottom of Jack's bare foot. He laughed and she smiled. Then the smile faded.
Your mom doesn't share your generous spirit.
Jen grimaced. She's being quite the biatch right now, and I have no idea why.
She's protecting her son.
I find it fascinating that you're making excuses for her. If I were you, I'd be egging her car.
Zoe grinned. Not my style.
The humor faded for a second time.
I honestly don't know what to say to her. She's so determined to see this as bad for Stephen. For you too, I'm guessing.
Jen wasn't going to talk about her recent fight with her mother. You were the maid of honor at my wedding. Our relationship is important to me,
and my mom doesn't get a vote.
I don't want to cause trouble.
You're not. Trust me, it's all good.
Jen looked at her. You're dealing with so many things right now. Pregnancy takes a lot out of your body. You have to take care of yourself and surround yourself with people who will be there for you.
I want to be one of them, and it sounds like Stephen does too. So go with it. As for my mom, she shrugged. I hope she eventually gets it. But if she doesn't, you'll still have us.
Chapter 19. So far, there weren't a whole lot of physical disadvantages to being pregnant, Zoe thought, as she crossed her living room and opened the door. But there sure were logistical ones.
Hello, Chad.
Zoe.
Having to deal with her ex was the biggest one. As much as she didn't want to see him, she knew she was now in a position where she had to take his calls. And when he'd asked to see her, she had said yes. It was the middle of the day, which meant he'd stopped by on his lunch break, something she was grateful for. They could hardly get into anything significant in the 45 minutes he had off. He had on his usual uniform of jeans and a white T-shirt. She found it strange that she had once thought him handsome. She supposed that came from seeing him differently. She'd never been able to depend on him, not the way she depended on Stephen. He'd been such a relatively small part of her life. Now she only saw him as someone she used to know. What they had seemed so long ago, all baby evidence to the contrary. She motioned to the sofa and he took a seat. For a second she allowed herself to hope that he'd decided one more kid was more than he could handle and that he would give up his rights. Not that she was really expecting that to happen. So far, her luck hadn't been that good.
How are you feeling? He asked.
Fine. I saw the doctor and everything is going well with the baby.
Good.
He rubbed his hands together, then stood and walked to the far side of the room. He faced her.
I've been thinking.
Oh, please, she chanted silently.
About us and the baby. The thing is...
He swallowed, then moved close and sat next to her. He smiled.
Marry me, Zoe. We can make it work.
He took her hand in his.
I mean it. Marry me. You always wanted that, right? Well, now you can have it. The ring, the wedding, whatever. You've got a really nice house. It should work for the baby. I'll probably keep my apartment, you know, for when I have my kids. But that's okay.
She drew back her hand and told herself this wasn't happening. Chad hadn't just proposed. Marry him? There was no way. They couldn't. She couldn't.
Zoe?
Chad, no. We're not getting married.
Why not?
For one thing, we don't love each other. We didn't have a relationship. We had something that was convenient to both of us.
But you always wanted us to get married. You talked about it. You said it was why you bought this house.
Something she would always regret. Not the house. Wanting to marry him.
Things have changed. I see now that I was wrong. You don't love me. You don't even want to give up your apartment. You never wanted anything more than what we had. You were right. We aren't good together.
But we're having a baby. When a couple gets pregnant, they should get married.
Jeez, he sounded like her father.
That doesn't change anything. I'm not marrying you, Chad. I'm sorry. You're sweet to ask, but no.
He shifted back on the sofa, then stood.
I thought you'd want to.
I don't.
I'm not giving up my kid. I want to see him or her.
She held in a sigh. Disappointing, but not surprising. I figured. You were always very devoted to your other children. We'll figure out a parenting plan that works for both of us. It will be a little complicated while the baby is breastfeeding, but we'll make it work.
He shook his head. I thought this was what you wanted, he repeated.
I know. I'm sorry.
I was going to buy you a ring.
I appreciate that.
Is there someone else?
He asked. She nodded. He's a great guy. You'll have to meet him at some point. She thought there might be some kind of reaction, but Chad only sighed.
My ex remarried over the holidays. What is it about you women and locking down some guy?
Zoe opened her mouth, then closed it.
Your ex-wife got married and you didn't tell me?
I didn't think it was important.
But they'd been together when it had happened. He should have...
She mentally put on the brakes. Not her problem, she reminded herself. None of this was anymore. Chad would always be Chad. It was why she wasn't with him anymore. She rose and crossed to the door.
We'll talk again soon. I'll get the parenting plan started with my lawyer. I don't know if you want representation as well. You should probably think about it.
She thought about mentioning the fact that she wouldn't want him in the delivery room with her, but they were a long way from that happening. Months and months. Anything could happen. Well, anything except her getting back together with Chad.
He walked to the open front door and stepped onto her porch.
You're sure?
I am. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
She didn't wait to close the door. There was nothing left to say. When she heard his car drive away, she returned to her office and sat in front of her computer. But she didn't start typing right away. Instead, she leaned her head back to keep her tears at bay. She totally messed up. Everything about this pregnancy was so unexpected. She put her hand on her stomach.
Even you, she whispered,
especially the baby. Still, there were blessings. A year ago, she would have jumped at Chad's proposal. Talk about a disaster. She didn't want to marry a man who talked about keeping his own apartment. Not that his inability to fully commit was even the biggest problem.
They didn't love each other. She was pretty sure he'd never been in love with her at all.
As for herself, she had no idea when her feelings had faded. All she knew was that they were gone now. She was going to have a baby, and Chad was going to be the father. She couldn't seem to escape either fact. There would be a parenting plan and visitation and child support, none of which pleased her, but it was the price of doing business, so to speak, because she was having this baby. Her phone chirped. She glanced down at the screen and saw she had a text from Stephen. It was a picture of a page for an organic seed catalog. The accompanying text read, "Can't wait to see you tonight. I'll be the guy with the promise of butter lettuce." She laughed.
Looking forward to it.
She put down her phone. At least the Stephen part of her life was going well, she thought. How could she resist a man who tempted her with organic lettuce seeds? It was physically impossible, and she would be a fool to try. Pam usually battled with mixed feelings when she left on a trip. Of course, she was excited to see her friends and whatever the cruise ports would be, but she also felt a twinge at leaving her family behind. But this trip was different. With the exception of missing Lulu and her friends, she was grateful to be leaving Mischief Bay for 3 weeks. She needed the time away. Maybe being somewhere else for a while would help her clear her head. She'd texted all three of her children, reminding them of her trip. Brandon, who knew nothing about the Zoe issue, had responded with a friendly phone call. The other two had texted back, wishing her well, but nothing more. A far cry from their usual chit-chat about where she was going and what she would be seeing. She knew that Stephen and Jen were still upset with her, even though she was right and they were wrong. Well, fine. Let them stew while she was gone. Things would be different when she got home. She left her plane at JFK and walked toward baggage claim. Olympia's flight from Orlando was due in about the same time, and they had arranged to meet up and share a cab to their hotel. Laura and Eugenia should have already arrived. In the morning, the four of them would fly to Copenhagen, where they would spend 2 days before boarding their ship. Pam found her two large bags, then checked her phone for a text from her friend. Olympia was only a couple of carousels away. She sent a message back, explaining where she was, and they started to walk toward each other. Pam spotted Olympia first. At the sight of her friend, she felt her control start to slip. By the time they were hugging, Pam was in tears.
What's wrong?
Everything's a mess. Stephen, Zoe, Miguel, it's because of Zoe. Okay, and maybe me. I'm the one who set her up with Stephen. If I hadn't done that, none of this would have happened. Of course, if she hadn't slept with Chad, things would have been okay as well. I thought I was doing the right thing, but it's a disaster.
Olympia patted her back. That's quite a list. Let's get a cab and you can tell me about it on the way to the city. We'll meet up with the girls. You'll feel better after cocktails.
But I don't know what to do.
Pam, you're going to Europe. You don't have to do anything until you get home.
An hour later, they arrived at the Peninsula Hotel in Midtown. Pam had explained everything to Olympia, including how the world seemed to be siding with Zoe, even though there was a very good chance she was going to break Stephen's heart. They checked into their rooms and agreed to meet in a half hour. Pam only bothered with one of her bags. She'd put everything she would need before the cruise in one case. The second suitcase would be unpacked on the ship. She went down to the bar at Clement, where she found her friends waiting for her. Based on their expressions, she knew that Olympia had already shared her troubles. At least she didn't have to go over it all again.
"I don't want to talk about my ridiculous family," she announced. "How is everyone else?"
"We're good," Eugenia said as they hugged. Laura shifted over to give Pam room on the bench seat, then scowled.
"Dear God, you are in such good shape. It's annoying. How often do you exercise?"
"A few times a week." She thought of the workouts at her friend Nicole's studio. Workouts that Zoe had joined her for, which probably wouldn't be happening now. Pam felt a twinge of regret. Not that she wanted to be friends with Zoe anymore. She didn't. But Pilates would be good for Zoe's pregnancy. There was something so magical about seeing a woman's body change and knowing there was a new life waiting inside. Bouncing back from a pregnancy was hard enough. If Zoe continued to practice Pilates, she would find it easier. Someone should tell her, she thought wistfully. Only Zoe's mother had passed away and Pam wasn't sure Jen would think to mention it. There were other things. Pam reminded herself she wasn't on Zoe's side anymore, so she shouldn't care about how well she did or didn't do after her pregnancy. Still, if circumstances had been different, she would have enjoyed having another baby in her life. She loved them when they were newborns. That sweet smell, the way they relaxed so completely in her arms. There was nothing quite so wonderful as rocking a newborn.
"Earth to Pam," Laura said. "Are you still with us?"
"What? Oh, sorry."
She looked at her friends.
"What were we talking about?"
"We were discussing our cocktail schedule," Eugenia told her. "The cruise is just too dang long for us to have a single drink we depend on." Olympia looked amused.
"Did you just say dang?"
"My Texas is showing," Eugenia said with a laugh. "Sorry. My gentleman friend and I have been spending more time together than usual, and his accent rubs off on me. My point being, we need to rotate what we're drinking."
"We'll be in Russia for a few days," Laura smiled. "We should definitely have a vodka-based drink.
It's only polite." "We don't have to decide now."
Olympia looked around the table. "As long as we have our New York cocktail decided. Agreed?" They all nodded.
"I believe it was my turn," Eugenia drew in a breath. "Bellinis. Champagne is always appropriate, especially before a trip like the one we're going on."
"Bellinis it is," Laura said, and flagged the server.
They placed their order. Their server left small bowls of nuts and olives for them. When he'd left, Olympia glanced at them.
"So, how is everyone doing? Any news?"
Laura shrugged.
"I'm good. Pam, should we be worried about you with everything going on?"
"I'm fine. Just trying to figure things out."
"Poor Stephen."
Laura's expression was sympathetic. "He's got some tough decisions to make. I know you're staying neutral, but on the inside, you must be dying to tell him what you think." Pam opened her mouth, then closed it. She realized that while she'd told Olympia what was happening, she'd neglected to mention that she'd done more than simply listen. She'd hardly stayed neutral. She'd not only told Stephen what to do, she'd fought with her daughter and ended things with Miguel. Or maybe he'd ended things with her. She wasn't sure.
"Obviously, Stephen needs to break things off with Zoe," Eugenia shrugged. "I don't mean to sound harsh, but there's no way he wants to take on another man's baby. Not if Chad's going to stay around."
She looked at Pam.
"Is he?"
"That's what I understand."
Before she could thank her friend for seeing things so clearly, Olympia spoke up.
"How can you say that?"
Olympia asked. "Break up with her?"
The pregnancy wasn't her fault, it simply happened. And for that she should lose a wonderful man like Stephen? Of course he'll stay with her. If they care about each other, they'll figure it out. Besides, he wasn't raised to run from a problem like that. We all know Pam and what she believes. She's an honest, fair, wonderful person. Stephen has to be exactly the same. There's no way he's going to turn his back on Zoe. While Pam appreciated the compliment, she wasn't sure she deserved it. According to her children, she wasn't very nice these days. Laura shifted in her seat. Zoe did sleep with the ex. That's kind of tacky. Agreed, Olympia said. But come on, it happens. And she thought she was protected. Nothing Zoe did was irresponsible. We all talk about raising our children to be good people, to look past the superficial to the person inside. A baby isn't superficial, Eugenia pointed out. It's a life changer. Why would Stephen want that? Why wouldn't he? He's a good guy. Yes, a baby complicates things, but so what? Are you saying if he met someone who was divorced and had a couple of kids, you would tell him to run? Why is this different?
She's pregnant, Laura said slowly. I see your point and I get the divorced thing. How interesting that her being pregnant makes it seem like more of a complication.
I can't explain why. It was as if her friends had become the voices in her head, Pam realized. They were having the argument for her.
My friend Shannon married a man with two children, Pam said slowly. There were adjustments, but it's working out.
See? Olympia sounded triumphant.